Ramsey TV.
I got a real treat for you here, ladies and gentlemen, to start the show, and that is the official mascot of the Body of Christ is at the window. It's Charles. There he is. Alive and well. You haven't seen him in a while, I know. It's Charles. Official mascot of the Body of Christ. Wondering what I'm doing out here. Well, what I'm doing out here is I'm about to tell you that we are no longer subject to death. Well, I got to qualify that, don't I? Because even those of us in the body of Christ still die. Maybe I should say we're no longer subject to the fear of death. Nope, I'm sticking with no longer subject to death. And I'm going to tell you why here on MCTV on Monday morning. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome. I think I'm still tired from the conference. Can you believe it? A week out. But anyway, I'd like to thank everyone who contributed to the work there, who donated money for the books that I brought to the conference. You're very generous with me, and I appreciate all of you. And again, to Will and Sonny, Faye and Wes Follenkamp, and Seth Follenkamp for all their work to make the conference a success. Everyone that went out of their way to come to the conference, and everybody did go out of their way. Most people have to go out of their way to go to Omaha, Nebraska, especially to Nehawka, Nebraska, the conference site being 3 miles down a dirt road, but it was a lovely time with the saints. I appreciate all of you, and I miss all of you. The show goes on here. Before I get into the topic at hand, I want to invite you to watch yesterday's Rodney Parris, Martin Zender, 1-2 punch extravaganza. Charles is just staring at me here, wondering what I'm going to say next. Don't worry, Charles, you won't be disappointed, kid. I got it. I know what I'm doing here, kid. Don't worry. Yesterday on the Grace Cafe show, recorded in 1999 at a radio station, Christian radio station in Cleveland, Ohio, we talked about the topic of hell, the three Greek words mistranslated. That was a powerful show. And the video that Rodney tagged on at the end from a Return to Zender show I broadcast from my car in 2018 is worth its weight in gold. It's about the conciliation of the world. You have to watch it. And send it to your friends, because again, being on the radio lends a legitimacy in the minds of many people, and it'll help them see the truth. So at the conference, I did a talk called All Is Yours. I'm going to read the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where I got this amazing statement. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:21, "So that let no one be boasting in humans, for all is yours." This statement, "all is yours," is what I focused on. It's a radical statement. And for, you know, for 40 years, I kind of missed that one. All is yours. And then he makes a list of what is ours, whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas, that is Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or that which is impending. All is yours, yet you are Christ's, yet Christ is God's. This is a series of possessions. God is on the top of this list, of course. Christ belongs to God, and we, as members of the body of Christ, belong to Christ. Well, this is fantastic just by itself, that in God's mind, the order of things, the order of importance, the order of powers, the order of influence, the order of, you could almost say hierarchy, is God, Christ, and us. That's how God looks at it. And everything else under us is ours, which is everything. I mean, everything is God's. The world belongs to God and the fullness thereof. And of course, God gives everything to Christ. What does Christ do? He gives everything to us. So it's God, it's Christ, and it's us. I mean, this is amazing. and everything else, which is everything else, belongs to us. I made this amazing point at the conference, and somebody asked, I think it was Oklahoma Stan. It was Oklahoma Stan who said, in what way is death ours? And that was a great question, because I didn't get into the specifics. I was just, you know, that was all I could do to bring to the saints this amazing statement that all is ours. So the question is, in what way is death ours? This is a big revelation. That's this. Paul writes in Romans 5, verses 12 through 14, that death reigns from Adam. We know that sin came through one man, Romans 5, 12, and through sin, death. And thus, death was passed on to all humanity, on which all sinned, Romans 5, 12. I'm not here to explain that verse, but I do want to emphasize that death has reigned from Adam. And we all taste the pain of that. We all know people who have died. But something has changed, and that is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ conquered death. And the Apostle Paul in Hebrews talks about those who their entire lives were subject to the fear of death. Well, in this way is death ours, in that it no longer reigns over us. Some of us, all of us, I believe, that are alive today in the body of Christ will not taste death. We will be snatched away on our feet to join the dead in Christ who will rise first. And we will all meet Christ in the air. Our bodies will be transformed, made immortal. So in that sense, death is definitely ours. It's ours. I mean, we own death now. We own it. That's what this verse is saying. All is yours. Death, life, the present, that which is impending. We're no longer under its reign. Now, we're no longer under the reign of sin either, but we still sin. But the fear and the foreboding and the guilt and the agony that sin produced, we're no longer under that jurisdiction. We're a new creation in Christ. So I want you to think the same thing of death now. Even though we're still dying, we're still mortal, and we have those we know in the body of Christ who have died. But the power that death has held, the fear that death has held, the dread that death has held over us is no longer. That is why Paul says here that death is yours. We can see easily how life is yours. He's not only talking about the life of the future, that which is impending, but he's talking about the life of the present, because he says the present is yours, that which is impending is yours. Apply this to life. The impending life is ours. We know that we're going to be made immortal, but the present life is also ours. It's ours. We own it. It is subject to us. Now, it seems to be steamrolling you. It seems to be lording it over you. It wants to lord it over you. Satan wants to trick you to think that life is lording it over you. I'm under the situation. I'm under life. I'm struggling under life. No, you got it all wrong. Life is yours. It's yours. It is serving you. And even now, some way, somehow, mortality is serving us. Don't think of these things anymore as lords over you. You have one Lord, and that's Jesus Christ. These things should not be lording it over you any longer. And there's no more a fear of death or a fear of life or a fear of anything in the present, because it's ours. You had it mixed up. This stuff should be fearing us. Right, Charles? Charles knows. These things should be fearing us, and they do. Speaking metaphorically, speaking with the figure of speech personification, I'm personifying life and death. I'm personifying the situations of today. They fear you. The situations of life fear you, because you own them, because it's all yours. A corresponding truth here is that God is working all together for the good of those who are loving God. He's working all together. So all of life's circumstances are working together for you. This is a corroboration of that because you own it. It's yours. Life is yours. Don't be tricked to think that your life's and that life is just hitting you with one thing after another. No, you're hitting it. You're hitting it. It's serving you. And even death serves us. I'm not here to explain exactly how that is because I don't understand how that is, how death serves us. But I'm just believing scripture that death is yours. And I do believe it centers on this fear of death that people have had. People do crazy things because they're afraid of death. People go to the doctors all the time and they get these stupid tests done and they get themselves probed and poked because they fear death and they don't want to get any disease. They don't want to get any malady where death could be hastened or their mortality could be increased, if that's possible. Yeah, your suffering can be increased, but no, it's all serving you. It's all serving you. Back before the scam, I had to go to the doctor's office once a month in order to do a monthly health check so that I can continue to get my depression medication, which I've been taking for a few years. My problem, which serves me, is that I just have this low level of depression. I don't really have steep ups and downs. I just have this low level, downness. And I don't know why. I don't even know if this crap I'm taking is helping me. But my point is that every time I went into the office to get my prescription renewed, they would ask me if I wanted tests. They try to upsell you every time you go to a doctor's appointment. Would you like your blood test? Would you like us to stick a camera up your ass? You really need to check your prostate. You really need to have a proctologist look at your ass. No, I don't want any of these things. It became a joke between me and the nurses. Martin, we have to ask you this. Would you like a blood test? No. Would you like a cholesterol test? No. Would you like a doctor to look inside your ass? No. Would you like a No. And at first they were puzzled because most people succumb to it. You know, would you like an order of fries with that cheeseburger? No. If I wanted it, I would ask for it. And I told those doctors and nurses something the first time they started throwing this stuff at me that shocked them. They looked at me rather quizzically because I was denying all these wonderful benefits that they could probe me and poke me and try to extend my life. That was the sell. Well, we can extend your life. We can make you healthier. I said, you're dealing with a person. Here's the problem, folks. Here's why. You never have to ask me these questions. You're dealing with a person who does not hold very tightly to life. They were stunned. Most people have a stranglehold on life and they have a morbid fear of death and their whole life is dictated by a love of this world and a fear of death. And there are many decisions that people make that are bad decisions, medically bad decisions, emotionally bad decisions, spiritually, that are based on fear of death and a dread of losing life. I don't dread losing life. That's what I basically told them. I don't dread losing my life and I don't dread death. How could that be, Mr. Zenda? Because all is mine. It's all mine. I'm not owned by it anymore. I'm liberated from the fear of death. I'm liberated from fearing what might happen in this life, what might happen next, you know, the dread, the impending doom. Doom sucks. Oh, one of my favorite verses in the unveiling is that doom shall be no more. God's going to get rid of doom. Just the word, doom. I hate that word, doom. I'm not subject to it anymore. Screw it. I've doomed doom. And I've killed death. Yeah, and I've out-circumstanced the circumstances of life. I'm in charge now, bitches. Because Christ is in charge of me and God is in charge of Christ. And I have been told by God, writing through the Apostle Paul here, that it's all mine. Why do I fear this stuff anymore? I don't. It fears me. I'm telling you, you couldn't believe it unless it was written down, but here it is. And so let this disposition be yours. It's not going to help your doctor any, you know. No more power. These people have no more power over you. Because the fear that runs their business, the fear of death, and the fear of life's circumstances is loosed from you. You've been delivered from it. We are proleptically, that is, calling what is not as though it were. We're a new creation. We're to think of ourselves this way, and we're to actually act this way. We're actually to act free, to act like we own these things. And sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. I get that. But it explains the cavalier, almost carefree, almost, no, not almost, liberated attitude that I don't have anything to worry about. Well, what do you know? That's backed up by another verse of Paul, that nothing be worrying you. I'll stay with that. Yeah, that's my verse today, along with this. All is mine, and let nothing be worrying you.